Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force.
If you look up the word deliverance in the dictionary, one of the synonyms of that is rescue.
Rescue.
And the word deliver, if you know, the deliverance comes from the root word deliver, it just means to be set free. Mm-hmm. And so what are we doing? We're setting free people from the influence of demonic resistance or attack.
Wow.
Now, here's your host, Jim Rohn.
Well, praise the Lord. It is another beautiful day. Today, we have a guest that I have been wanting to have on the radio for a long time. I've been talking to him for about 6 months. His name is Harold Overschlake, and Harold has a ministry of inner healing, inner healing. Well, we're going to find out what that is today. I'm curious about that. Now, the name of his ministry that he's founded is Open Heaven Ministries. Harold, it's so nice to have you today. What is your ministry about? Inner healing. What is inner healing? I'm curious.
Well, Jim, we've been working inner healing / deliverance ministry is the way that I say it. Because we have found out when people are in need of healing in a certain area of their emotional life, we have pockets of resistance, it seems like. And, you know, the Word of God tells us in Mark 16 is a great commission. And we all know that it tells us that we will be involved in laying hands on the sick and that we'll be involved in removing demonic influence from people's lives. And that's what we're supposed to do.
We're supposed to do that?
Yeah, yeah. Just read in Mark 16:15. It's pretty interesting.
Last chapter of Mark.
That's right. And you know, something else that I love to talk about, Isaiah 58 and Isaiah 61. Mm-hmm. You know, Isaiah 58, if you'll read in there, what you'll see is the Lord's talking about, in my opinion, what he's saying is, this is what's acceptable to me. That's at the end of verse 5. But then at the beginning of verse 6, he talks about loosing bonds of wickedness and undoing heavy burdens and letting the oppressed go free and breaking yokes off people. And then if you go to Isaiah 61, it's very similar. It's the Lord talking, saying, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. And so that you see how those two are tied together. And then if we join in with at John 20:21. Yeah, Jesus says, as the Father sent me, so I send you.
Oh, you mean just like the Father sent Jesus,
that's
we're
right.
going to be sent like that?
That's right, exactly.
Oh,
and we're supposed to do the same thing. So what did we hear that Jesus just said he did? Well, that he heals the brokenhearted, that he proclaims liberty to the captives. It says that he opens prison to those that are bound. And he's not necessarily talking about a real prison there. He's talking about the prison that we can be in.
Prisons.
Yeah. And so what we have found through 15 years of ministry in this area, that even though someone might become born again, become a Christian, they can have pockets of resistance in their life. And these pockets of resistance sometimes influence us in such detrimental ways that they affect us growing in things of the Lord.
Like some kind of block, fear?
Yeah, it could be fear. Fear can hold us back in areas. Later on, I'll share a few stories with you about some of this type thing. But
good.
Fear is is one that's big. We've had people who have been involved in the occult before they were born again, and those things can greatly affect us. We've prayed with a lot of people that were holding unforgiveness towards someone for something that happened to them, and those can be big things that happen to us also. So I understand why we might not want to forgive someone. One of the things in the church that's greatly misunderstood, in my opinion, is what deliverance and inner healing is all about.
I'd like to hear about that.
Okay, that, you know, as I was saying, how we can have these pockets of resistance. A lot of people think that when you are saved and born again, that everything to do with your old life is erased. Now, we do know that all the sin is erased. There's no doubt about that. But what we have found with working with so many people in the church is that they have these areas in their life where they still have a pocket of resistance that holds them back. That's just the best way that I can say it.
So they still have problems.
Yeah, they still have problems, even though the sin has been forgiven, if sin was involved. Mm-hmm. Sometimes sin is not even involved. You know, we pray with a lot of people who something happened to them. Maybe they were they had a trauma, they had a car wreck. Well, you know, that not a sin involved in that, but it still is a traumatic experience. And then sometimes it's someone else's sin which causes us to be influenced. Like, for instance, there's where you, if someone was molested or someone is either word curses are spoken on us because sometimes our parents not thinking and not understanding that what they're saying is really harming us. You know, they say things like, well, you know, you'll never amount to anything, or you know, you can't do anything right. Or a lot of times, one that I've heard many times is mothers who get frustrated with a young son and they will say, you know, you're just like your father. And they don't mean that in a positive way. You know, or they'll say, you're never going to amount to anything. And all these kind of things are really not our sin. We didn't do anything.
No, victim, would you call them?
That's right. Mm-hmm. They are a victim of those circumstances. They're a victim of those words. And while we're talking about those word curses, the one thing that we have discovered over the years is that the people who affect us the most are those of authority. Like, for instance, if two people on the street met and one person could say just about anything to the other and it not affect them in any way because they have no relationship, they have no authority in your life. But the places where we have found that it affects people greatly is first off with the parents, of course, and then it can be with your spouse or maybe another really close family member. It can be with school teachers. Another one is pastors. Pastors can say things that greatly hurt some of their people, and I don't think we mean to do that, but it still can happen. Mm-hmm. So I believe everybody, we need to watch our words in people that we talk to.
Word curse. You used that word curse?
Yeah, word curse. And that's just anything that's detrimental spoken against us that will not be uplifting. You know, the Word of God tells us that words are powerful, and we know that God created the universe with words, and we're made in His image. So we need to be careful with the way that we use our words.
And life and death are in the power of the tongue, our Bible says. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And it is something that we need to be aware of. So anyway, that's one of the ways that we have these pockets of resistance are formed in our lives. And then when we're saved, the influence of those words or the influence of that abuse or the influence of that fear is not necessarily disappearing when we become Christian.
It's still there.
It can be. Mm-hmm. Now, I have seen many, many people who they, for instance, I've heard of people who had severe addictions, for instance, and then they become a Christian and immediately, instantly, when they give their life to the Lord and ask Jesus to come into their heart, that those addictions were gone, they disappeared, and they never had another problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also heard of many, many times, matter of fact, I believe more often than not, from at least my experience, which is all I'm speaking from, is that more often than not, the imprint of that doesn't go away. And now those people have to work through that. They have to pray about that. And then people like myself who have a little understanding actually my job in the kingdom is anymore is not so much to do individual deliverances, but I'm to reproduce myself. I'm to teach others what I know so that they can have teams of people in their church, in their ministry. You know, some of the saddest stories I've heard are people who sit in churches every week with these influences in their life because they're unaware of them, but they're not able to go forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, Jim, I strongly believe, though, that when the Bible talks about us going from glory to glory or level to level, I believe that one of the ways that we help people get to that next level can be through inner healing and deliverance.
Okay, inner healing there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I heard this illustration not long ago, and I think it's kind of a good thing for people to relate to. But it's like, we'll just say that if you had a field of mud and it was real thick mud. And we're just going to pretend that when you put your foot down in that mud, that your foot represents sin in your life. So that mud field, we're just, you know, is representative of your life right now. And then you put that foot, which is sin, in your life. And maybe you have a life full of sin. Maybe you were molested. Maybe you had a fearful situation. Maybe you had word curses. Maybe you had all of the above, because a lot of people have really rough lives. And then Jesus comes along and removes that sin, or so the foot that represents sin is removed from your life. But still in the mud for many, many, many people is what? Is the imprint of the foot. So the imprint is what is really influences us. It's not the sin necessarily anymore, that the sin has been forgiven. We all know that if you've asked the Lord to forgive your sins, they're forgiven. But sometimes that imprint is still in our lives. And so ministries like ours, what we do, we come along and we teach people how to help others erase that footprint. And there again, as we share some stories in a little bit, what you will hear is how we help to erase those footprints. And those people were able to go forward in their life in areas that they were held back in. And I want to make sure everybody understands we're talking about pockets. You know, most of the people we deal with are excellent Christians. I've prayed with worship leaders. I've prayed with pastors. I've prayed with, you know, of course, just, you know, people that didn't really have a job in the church also. But I've prayed with leaders in the church. And every one of these men and women that we have prayed with were great people. They were just moving forward in God in so many areas. But most of them, when they started talking to us, they all kind of had a similar thing. They said, it just feels like something's holding me back, but I'm not really sure what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So as we started talking with them a little bit, that's when we teach people how to uncover these pockets. Our teaching is based upon basically four biblical principles.
Oh, I'd like to hear that.
Okay, there's repentance, of course, which if we need to repent for our sins, if we did something, we need to repent for that. And then there's confession. Confession in the book of James, he says in James, for us to confess our sins or our faults one to another that we may be healed. And so that's one to another. That's not us to God. That's one to another. And then there is renunciation. Renunciation, as we teach, is discovering that you have lost authority in your life. You renounce that sin. You renounce that binding that you've did, and which helps you to recover that lost authority. And then the fourth one is just forgiveness. So a lot of times we have people that we have to forgive, especially in, say, physical or sexual abuse cases particularly. Mm-hmm. And we pray with a lot of people over the years, and our teams have. Those people always need to forgive someone.
Yes.
Yeah, because a great injustice was done to them. Just like the Lord forgive us, we need to pass that forgiveness on. Mm-hmm. You know, and even though I always tell people that I understand that in the natural, that person might not deserve that forgiveness. Okay. You know, if they've molested you in the natural, they might not deserve to be forgiven. But we all know that we don't deserve to be forgiven either.
Likewise. Mm-hmm.
But the Lord forgives us anyway. So we teach these principles. We teach people how to work with others to come into these areas where these pockets of resistance or hidden things. I use an illustration, Jim, that our ministry is about recovering lost authority. And, you know, Jesus gave us authority over our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, we have authority actually on the earth. He was the one that came. Jesus came and took back all authority from our enemy, Satan. But then he passes that authority on to us, and he tells us, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel, heal the sick, cast out devils. He wants us to feed the those that are hungry. He wants us to help the poor. He wants us to help the widows and visit the imprisoned. All these are things that the Lord has told us to do. And, he wants us to heal the brokenhearted. And so our ministry, as we go forward in those things, we have lost authority at times in our lives, and we help people discover how they lost it. But this little illustration, is about keys. I have some keys that I usually will go into a meeting when I do the teaching. I will take these keys out. And I said, do we realize that if we have a set of keys to our house, you know, that those keys to our house gain entrance into our home. So if we think about our home as being our life, and then the enemy wanting to infiltrate our home, wanting to infiltrate our life, a lot of times we give out keys without being aware of that. Now, if Jim, if you come to visit me in my hometown and, you know, we've become friends, and I might say to you, Jim, here's a key to my house. Anytime you're in my area, just stop in, make yourself at home, you know, go get what you need out of the fridge, you know, take that back bedroom. It's all yours. Just make yourself at home, Jim. It's okay. I don't have to be there. And so I'll give you that key. Now, the thing is, if I ever wanted you or I ever didn't want you to come into my home any longer, what do I need to do?
Take away the key.
We're going to focus on take away the key. So I'm going to ask for that key back. So now let's think about spiritual things now. Some of the ways that we give out keys, when someone does something to us and we choose not to forgive them. Now, we might not realize we're giving a key to the enemy, a key to our life, but we've actually just duplicated a key to our life, and we've handed that key to our enemy. You know that if you believe in angels, you have to believe in demons. And so there's these spirits that are against us that want to harm us. And what we actually have just done would just say, someone caused an accident that killed a loved one. I prayed with two people this week where that was the case. Someone caused an accident that might have killed one of your loved ones. And you know what? That's such a horrible thing. But we know spiritually that we must get to a place where we totally forgive that person. And you know, forgiveness doesn't mean we have to love the person or that we have to invite them out to dinner. But it does mean that we cannot wish for their harm, that we cannot wish, you know, if you're wishing that someone would pass away or you know, if you heard something bad happened to a person and you're glad about that, then that's a good sign to show that you're holding some unforgiveness in your heart. So we need to get that key back eventually. But that's how they're given out. So there's a way one key is given out. I prayed with a lady one time who talked about going to psychics and going to seances and doing these things. What these people didn't realize, every time they went to a psychic, another key to their life was handed out. Now, let's just think if this was the same person. The same person's family member was killed by someone because of an accident, and they lost a key to their life, which represents an entrance into your life or authority. And then someone else maybe the same person went to a seance or a psychic. A key was made and handed out. You should have just went in, if you'd realized what you'd done in the spirit, you could have took out a piece of paper and said, I just give the enemy of my soul permission to come into my life and harass me, and sign it and date it. And if we, you know, would we address a letter like that to Satan? Would we say, Satan?
No,
Jim, we wouldn't do that, would we? We wouldn't say, Satan, I tell you what, here's the deal. I'm just going to give you entrance into my life and I'll sign and date that. We would think that's absurd. Mm-hmm. But what we have found out in over this 15 years that unknowingly, we do that very thing by holding unforgiveness, like I said, by going to this psychic or seance, sometimes traumas. Authority is lost in two different ways. We give it away, which is when we choose to do something that we shouldn't have done. And that's even if we don't know it. It kind of doesn't matter in the spirit. If you don't know, you shouldn't go to a psychic, but you go to one, that still is detrimental to your soul. That's detrimental to your life. And so that's one way. We choose to not forgive someone. So that's a choice. All those are a choice. We sleep with someone we're not married to. We give authority away in our life. So those are all times where we give the authority away. But then there's times authority is stolen from us. Those are like when a child is sexually molested. Of course, that child did not one thing wrong. They didn't give any authority away in any way, shape, or form. But it was stolen from them. And children who are molested, I've got a couple interesting stories like that too, but children who are molested can grow up to be adults with bondages and not know what's happening, not know why. When a woman is raped, she didn't give away any authority whatsoever, but it still can be stolen from you. So anyway, what we do then is we come in and we teach these people how we've lost authority in your life. You've lost those keys, you know, and every one of these examples that I've mentioned, a key to a life was handed out or given out or stolen to the enemy. And our job is to go in and help to retrieve your keys, retrieve your authority, pray over you, bless you, get you healed up in that area so that you can be on about your Father's business.
And that's inner healing. You were saying that there's believers. I mean, we might, some people say good Christian people, and you know, great Christian people have things that's inside stopping them or blocking them. These are things, maybe they lost their authority somehow.
Yes.
And your ministry is to these people.
Oh, it's really, our ministry is exclusively to people who either have made a decision to Christ already, or they make one before we start praying for them.
Is that necessary part of your ministry, where you repent? Is that it?
Yeah. If you, for instance, several times when I've been out teaching and someone will come up and say, you know, I need you to pray about this area. You know, as you've been teaching, the Lord revealed to me that I have a problem in this area. And the first thing that we teach everyone in our meetings is, if you're going to pray deliverance for someone, we recommend that the first thing you ask them is, are you born again? Are you a believer? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the Word of God does say, and I kind of wasn't prepared for that, but I don't know where the scripture that, but it said, the Word of God says that you cannot serve two masters. And so what we want to make sure is that you're serving the master, the one that can set you free. You know, we, you know, Jim, as you very well know, anything that we do in the kingdom of God is only by Christ. You know, it's a joint venture. I tell people all the time, you know, what we do, sometimes Christ will come in a meeting or in worship. You know, there are lots of ways to be set free. You know, I've heard of people who are worshiping the Lord and he just comes in and sets them free. And something that was binding them up previously, maybe at the end of that worship, that thing is gone. Or I've heard of people be sitting in a service where someone's preaching, and during the preaching or the speaking, they're set free of something. Mm-hmm. And you know, and God many, many, many times sovereignly sets people free of many of these bondages that I've mentioned. But our job is when the Lord chooses, for whatever reason, not to do it that way, or not to do it when someone becomes a Christian, that's where we come in. So so we're a team with Him, you know, the Lord and us. He guides us. He gives us the authority. He's trained us. He's given us a lot of experience. And so we sit down with people and talk with them a little bit. We are able to discover these
pockets
of resistance.
Footprints.
And what we're looking for is, what is the binding in someone's life?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing we're looking for, and how did it get there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because there's always a reason for this type of thing that I'm talking about, these type of bondages. And Jim, you know, I've got this saying that deliverance cannot take the place of discipline.
Okay, so that it's accompanied with discipline too.
Yeah. Well, the second part of that is, but discipline cannot take the place of deliverance.
Okay.
So think about it both ways. If you know, you can't go to someone and say, well, you pray for me, I need deliverance, or I need inner healing. You can interchange the word inner healing or deliverance, because they really are tied to being set free or rescued. You know, if you look up the word deliverance in the dictionary, one of the synonyms to that is rescue.
Rescue.
And the word deliver, if you know, the deliverance comes from the root word deliver. It just means to be set free. And so what are we doing? We're setting free people from the influence of demonic resistance or attack.
Wow. How can people get in touch with you?
Okay, we have a website, which is openheavenministries.com, openheavenministries.com, and our email is ohm@openheavenministries.com. That's heaven with no S, heaven.
Thank you so much for coming in today. We'd like to hear more on our next program. This will be the first part of a series. Maybe you could tell us some of the stories that you've told me and continue on with this teaching. God bless you. And until we meet again.
All right. Thank
God
you.
God bless.
Jim.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice at the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. Lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, oh, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, you receive it. If you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you feel lost, and he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. Oh, if you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, oh, he's a chain breaker.
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force. I'm Jim Rohn.
If this program today has been a blessing to you and helped you, and you would like to support this ministry, you can send a gift easily by getting on our webpage, and there's a donate button there. Our webpage is www.globalairforce.net. Once again, our webpage is globalairforce.net, and you can easily and quickly send a gift to support this ministry. That's all for today. God bless.